don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Good morning. Welcome to Education Nation. This is Rebecca, your host, and I have with me my co-host, Pete Hegseth, as always.
Good morning.
Such a wonderful time to be able to get together and talk about important issues facing not only the nation, but as we're going to find today, even the local level as well.
Well, indeed, indeed. And you never do yourself justice with your introduction. It's Rebecca Hagstrom, the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy and host of this show, Education Nation. This is our 15th episode, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. It's gone fast.
We needed 14 warm-up episodes in order to get to today's
right.
topic.
Which is very bold.
We're thankful to be joined by a couple of great guests, which you'll introduce, but it is a contentious, difficult local topic.
Yeah.
And I think that exactly the type of one we want to tackle and really bring, you know, information and awareness to, because yeah. I'll say this as someone who lives in Marine,
yeah.
is in around the Stillwater area all the time. I still wasn't fully informed on this topic until really studying for
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we're talking about it. I think listeners will be very interested in the next half hour to hear about BOLD, and we've got some great guests to join us and inform us on it, so I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely.
This
very good. And just for the listeners to know, I'm also a ex-Marinite, I should say, lived up in the Marine area in Carnelian for 14 years, and my oldest son attended Marine Elementary through fourth grade, and my husband graduated from Stillwater High School in 1979, and he grew up his whole entire life here in Stillwater. So we have very deep ties to this area, and we want to see this school district thrive. It's always had a great reputation, and we really want to see that continue. So the BOLD is a proposal that the Stillwater School District, Independent School District 834, passed in December, and it stands for Building Opportunities to Learn and Discover, thus the BOLD acronym, and it calls for controversial closings of three elementary schools in the district. Three of the highest performing schools, actually, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later in the show. So today we have a few members of the Stillwater community with us here in studio to give their perspective on BOLD. And our purpose really in discussing this issue is to educate our listeners on what can transpire, even at the local level in our schools, and how despite being a parent or a taxpayer or an active citizen, it's very difficult to change the educational system in Minnesota. And so what we want to do today is give voice to these people who are really on the inside of this topic. And the first guest that we have on our show today is Elle. And Elle is an involved Marine parent and concerned citizen. She has a fourth and fifth grade boys up in the Marine Elementary School. And she's really been involved with this even since before the BOLD measure passed. So welcome to the show, Elle. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's not an easy thing to do today.
It is. It's a little... You know, I haven't done this before, so
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we're very glad to have you on. And this opportunity is one that can give you the opportunity to share with your neighbors and all people across really the entire district of Stillwater as to what your concerns are. So maybe tell us a little bit about kind of the overview of the BOLD. You said you were actually involved in it before it passed. So start there with us and kind of give us a timeline.
Well, I was involved with school issues before even hearing about BOLD. Being a Marine parent, mm-hmm. We're pretty involved in board issues and that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. I did hear inklings of this BOLD proposal before the actual presentation to the school board on December 17th.
Uh-huh.
So was curious about it. I knew something was up.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what it was.
How did you know that something was up?
We heard the acronym Building Opportunities, uh-huh. mm-hmm. The BOLD acronym,
mm-hmm.
and it was just kind of on our radar, being Marine parents,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we were concerned about a possible school closing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was sufficiently innocuous sounding. I mean, building opportunities right. to learn, discover, I'm sure you didn't know what that would mean. But there was also, I think, some signs that you probably thought Marine was safe or other schools mm-hmm. were safe. Talk to me about the funding measure that passed beforehand and sort of in the context of that, if mm-hmm. you would, that led up to this mm-hmm. bold decision.
Exactly. The bond of 2015, May 2015, passed, and that was a $97.5 million bond that went to build a new elementary school to relieve mm-hmm. overcrowding in the south part mm-hmm. of the district, mm-hmm. Expand the high school, mm-hmm. And change the entire district to a middle school model mm-hmm. so that you would have K through 5 mm-hmm. and then 6 through 8 and 9 through 12. Mm-hmm. And I supported most of that, and I think many of us did. Mm-hmm. And we were actually told, Interim Superintendent Tom Nelson came to talk to Marine parents in January of 2015, and he actually told us that schools would not close.
Wow. This was a board member who said this to you, did you say?
Superintendent.
Superintendent.
Right.
Okay, so the one before the current
Exactly. He was the interim superintendent okay. for mm-hmm. 1 year okay. in between Corey Lund and now Denise Pontrelli.
Okay.
And he actually said those very words, that they weren't going to close Marine.
Wow.
They were going to move Central Services instead.
Wow.
And that was their plan, and it was part of the long-range facilities plan to mm-hmm. to save money that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt somewhat confident
yeah.
about voting for the bond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although, again, being Marine parents, you're mm-hmm. just there's a little bit of suspicion there, a little mm-hmm. bit of concern, I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, because my understanding is that the application for a charter school initiative had to take place by a certain time frame,
uh-huh.
and that was done. The Marine parents must have had enough concern about this possibility that they decided to go ahead and do that. Is that
I think
right?
the concern mm-hmm. was more just taking some control.
Okay.
Having
a
little
plan.
doing a proactive mm-hmm. Measure instead of constantly in reactive mode.
Sure, that's which
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
It wasn't really directly related to BOLD or the bond or any of
okay.
that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit, if you will. You've used the word Marine parent, and I know you were very adamant about, and others have been. It's not just about Marine. Of course, it's not just about Marine. There's a lot of other schools. But tell me about that dynamic. Why would it be? Was there an air of suspicion already? That's my first question. And then the second one is, was when you were voting for that bond that night, was it so you're basically saying that was a referendum on school closures, in that the superintendent said, hey, if we vote for this, if we pass this, these schools aren't going to close. So a lot of voters were voting to keep their schools open, mm-hmm. if I
it was definitely said in person at a meeting, and I know other people went to other meetings with Mr. Nelson and heard the same kind of message, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that schools would not close.
Mm-hmm. Wow, just shocking.
And, yeah.
Do you know, are you able to connect at all with some of the Withrow families? Were they feeling some of the same thing, where they were feeling a little bit like, are they telling us the truth? You're not sure?
I can't speak for them, but uh-huh. I really don't think any of this was on their radar.
Anybody's
at all.
Radar
right.
at all. Okay.
Right.
And then when Denise Pontrelli came in, when did she start? Was that June?
July.
Okay. So 6 months after the parents and Marine have been told the school is not going to close,
mm-hmm.
the new superintendent begins.
Right.
And then she puts together this bold plan almost as though nothing prior had ever happened, like history just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the first concern that I had was that it was just so much.
Yeah.
We were doing the high school remodel, building a new elementary school, changing to the middle school model, and I thought, you know, and we want to close 3 schools at the same time.
Right.
So that was my first
yeah.
reaction.
Such
to
a
that.
Big shakeup.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I
mm-hmm.
so that was and then you start digging into things and
mm-hmm.
So the first one, the bond was passed to sufficiently fund all those changes,
mm-hmm.
yet it sounds like the BOLD plan is being sold almost exclusively
like
as a cost savings measure, correct? So
Yes.
Let me get inside the head of those advocating for the BOLD plan.
Okay.
How are they selling it? What is their, is it purely an austerity measure to say, hey, we can't fund our current trajectory? Is it a fairness issue? Is it an equity issue? I'm hearing a lot of different words that are thrown out sometimes.
I think it's part of the confusion. I know they would say that it's not about money.
Well, they would say it's not about money.
Right.
Really? The district would say it's not about money.
And they have said that.
Wow.
But I think it is. I do agree that they have some of the programmatic changes that they want to make with BOLD are really worth it and really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are other ways to go about it. Mm-hmm. If it's a financial mess that we're mm-hmm. in, there are other ways to fix that mm-hmm. financial mess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yet you're saying they're not necessarily pointing at the financial piece as being the biggest issue. Are they pointing to the population growth in the South? Is that kind of their big... What is their... how did they sell this? How did they promote that they should be doing, that they should be moving forward with BOLD?
The kind of things that they said and the things that I disagree with are, first, that they are right-sizing schools. Okay. So they are closing the small schools and making schools more the same size. And okay. they actually quoted a study that said, you know, right-sizing schools are between, 300 and...
Who gets to decide what the right size is for a school?
That's what I was about to ask. I was going to let her give her number and then ask the same question.
So on one of their PowerPoint presentations, it says, Landmark research suggests optimal size, 300 to 800 students. And I heard that, and I
you can drive a truck through 300
yeah,
and 800.
That's
kind of...
Right.
Well, I saw the reference, the citation here, the source, and I thought, well, that's, I'll go read that. And I read it, and I thought, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that from that study. Mm-hmm. And then I heard another Marine parent talk about that same study, and she said she didn't get that either. She didn't see. And so I contacted the authors. The authors didn't say that at all. So
really?
That's
really interesting.
You start seeing these little holes, and then you go, so if that's not exactly right, what else is there?
Right.
And but I want to be really clear about one thing before I go further, and that's the value of Stillwater schools.
Yeah.
I'm not here to slam Stillwater schools
right.
at all.
Right.
And I want to be clear about that.
Yeah. I'm glad.
I just want to, there's some problems with the way they went about this. And that's what I'm here to talk mm-hmm. about.
So. Do you feel like at any point performance was taken into account when these changes are made? Because I know that whether it's Withrow or Marine, these are considered some top performing schools, mm-hmm. magnet schools in some ways. Mm-hmm. Was that ever considered, or is it just the size of the school is the only thing they were thinking about and location?
I think they feel that, and I think they're right, that all the Stillwater schools are good schools.
Sure. No. Yeah. I mean, you can have a lot of good schools, but you can also recognize when they're exceptional schools as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a consideration.
Very interesting. And I know they also, those three schools that they're proposing to close down, actually had the most growth of all the rest of the schools in the district.
Well, and that was another piece
by significant margins.
Yeah, that was another question mark for me. And that they said, the schools north of 36 are half empty.
Yeah.
That was a quote. Mm-hmm. That class sizes are significantly lower than the average. And none of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
All the schools had a lot of growth in the last few years mm-hmm. and average class sizes. So mm-hmm. that was just another... why are mm-hmm. they saying this if it's not true?
Right, right.
And we've got to wrap up here. Never enough time to discuss all of these issues. But why all three? Why not keep one? It seems, when I thought about this in a
Me
common
too.
Sense way, I thought,
mm-hmm.
why not, maybe consolidate as opposed to close them all? Mm-hmm. What do they say to that?
I never asked them that question, so mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm not saying that would have been the optimal solution, but mm-hmm. hey, if ultimately geography is a pushback problem, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, we're going to consolidate into a Withrow or into Marine or something like that, that was just not part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never asked that.
I'm just curious.
Okay. So. Well, it's very interesting. So what I'm hearing you say, Al, if I can kind of summarize for our listeners here before we go to our next guest, is that you're not really sure exactly what is at the core of this BOLD proposal and why they really want to do this.
Well, in my opinion, I think it's monetary.
You think it's monetary, even though they don't say that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Got it. Very good.
Which has got to be all the more frustrating because you want to at least be sold. You at least want to hear the arguments made against you
right.
in a candid and honest way
right.
so that you can counter them
mm-hmm.
as opposed
right.
to don't sell me one thing, but really be doing it for another reason.
Mm-hmm.
Al, it's I know this is difficult for you. I know you want to reiterate your commitment to Stillwater Schools, which we appreciate. Certainly this conversation isn't meant to indict the district or anything. We just want to get our hands around why they're doing what, why this bold plan was brought about.
Just some question marks.
Some serious question marks. And I know the debate continues. So we're going to take a quick break. And then, Rebecca, we're going to have a conversation with another parent involved here in the district who's got some ideas about where this might be heading and what it might look like in the future.
Exactly.
So, all right, we'll take a quick break. Welcome back to Club 1220. It is 10:45 on your KLBB radio dials. And it was just noted to me, most people are not on their second cup of coffee right now. They might be on their fourth or fifth. So if you are right now, you are in good company with the fellow folks in the studio.
And listening to the right show at the same
time. Indeed. You are here with Education Nation. I'm Pete Hegseth, here with the host of the show, Rebecca Hagstrom. Rebecca, we're on a strong topic today, talking about bold, and another great guest lined
up
here.
Yes, yes. We're very excited to have Jenna in our studio with us this morning. And Jenna is an active Stillwater volunteer. She had a daughter that graduated from the Stillwater School District a number of years ago and had an excellent experience here. So welcome to the show today, Jenna.
Hello.
So glad to have you. So Jenna, tell us a little bit about how you got involved. We heard from Elle, I know, how she got involved with the whole bold situation. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your own story?
Well, I didn't hear anything about bold. I'd never been to a board meeting. I was done with the Stillwater system and very happy with it. But in January, I saw a Facebook post saying that Marine, Withrow, and Oak Park Elementary were being closed. And I was really dismayed because I had just voted on a $97.5 million bond, which I thought assured that they would not close any schools. So I was really upset about it as a taxpayer and a voter. I drove my mom to the polls. I got my daughter involved. She voted by absentee ballot. Yeah. I mean, I really felt like we were trying to, I felt it was really important to vote for this because I wanted everyone to have a great education. And then they were closing some of the best schools in Stillwater. I was pretty upset about it.
Yeah. And did you wonder right away what is going on? And I mean, did you, I don't know if it said anything in the Facebook post about why. I mean, were you just able to find anything out at all when you first started looking into it?
Not really, but I started paying attention to when the next board meeting was, and that was the first school board meeting I'd ever attended in January, and I learned more than I ever wanted to know about what was happening, and I've been very involved ever since.
Well, Jenna, it sounds like a lot of people had the same reaction. We thought we voted for keeping schools open. Instead, they're now closing it with this plan they're selling as bold. I think the school district has tried to push back and say that there's a silent majority that wants this bold plan, but you've seen otherwise. Tell us examples as to how you think, you know, most people are opposed to these closures.
Yeah, exactly. I was so surprised and I was actually really depressed about it, as many people were, because some great schools were slated to be closed. So I started looking through Facebook, and I saw that a couple of the Main Street businesses in Stillwater had quickly put out public notices saying that they did not support the closing of the schools. And one of them was Leo's.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if I should.
They're going to take a sign outside their deal.
We're going to go there afterwards.
Right. Wasn't sure if I should mention, but one of them was Leo's. They did a whole page thing on their Facebook page saying why they didn't support it, and that they hire these children from these schools, and that they thought that the northern part of the district was really important to their survival as a business to keep the northern
keep
towns alive.
Yes.
So I saw that, and then I saw another business, and I just made one Facebook post saying, guess what, guys, we have support from a couple of local businesses. I think we should go support them. And I pressed send or press post, and my Facebook page just took off. It was like wildfire. Like, I had a phone call about 5 minutes later from a friend who said, guess what, I'm sitting at a restaurant and he wants his restaurant to be put on the list. And I'm sitting next to an architect who also wants his business on the list. So I said, okay, well, just a minute. And so I added them, and I said, guess what, now we have four people on the list. And it became a full-time job for 2 weeks, adding to this list.
Sure.
And we soon had over 100 businesses on our business list, just saying that they questioned bold. They didn't understand how it had happened after we voted to save the schools. And
You know what I love about this? Not to cut you off, is the best activists are the accidental activists.
True. Yeah, that's
people
true.
Who see, who are, you're not necessarily ideological in nature, but you see a wrong, mm-hmm. you say, I'm going to do something about it, take a small mm-hmm. step. And then people react to that authentic reaction. Yeah. And they say, okay, I want to be a part of it. So I look at someone like you standing up, and you didn't plan for this. You didn't seek the spotlight.
Not at all.
You just said, this looks like something wrong, and I want to do something about it. And it turns out you're speaking for a lot of people.
Yeah, it turns out a lot of people did not support Bold. Mm-hmm. Not only did the business list grow very, very quickly, we kept going to business. We kept going to the school board meetings, and we were given 5 minutes. Was it 4 or 5 minutes to speak? The Marine night for Marine School went on until 10:30 at night. It started at 5.
Those were that was made up. Think of how many people that is.
That was made up of 5 minute slots of people. Maybe 4 minute slots. I can't remember.
I'm doing that right now.
I think it was 5.
I don't really know. I don't know how many speakers
it is. That's a lot of speakers. It was all night long of people just begging the administration to think of some other alternatives, or and just trying to say how important these northern districts actually are to the school district. And we just had overwhelming support with the business list. And then the school still didn't. The administration still did not believe that we were a majority. They were very determined. They really believed that a silent majority were just afraid to speak up and say that they were against Bold. So so they commissioned a couple of different surveys, and you have the paperwork on that.
Shocking.
Which came out to show their own commissioned surveys that were going to help the school district show that they had the majority, showed that 2-1, Stillwater did not want Bold. We all want the best education for all of our kids. Especially the people at the closing schools, we all want the best education for Stillwater, but we do not believe that closing the 3 schools is going to get us where what they need.
Absolutely. And obviously, you have a majority of people who agree with you in this area.
It's a proven majority.
Yeah, and I think it was said to me that one of the surveys was done by the head person was Leatherman, was that his name?
Yes.
And he actually stood up at a board meeting and said, 2-1, 2-1. The residents of this district are opposed to the Bold plan. And that brings us back to the whole issue of local politics. I mean, the school board is here to represent we the people, right? And what are we getting? Instead, we're seeing the complete opposite happening in this particular case.
That's the question. Is, you know, you want to believe that local control is going to, people are going to be held accountable, that they're going to be responsive to the people because they've got to run for re-election at some point. Why in this case, we're in a 5-2 vote is what it came down to. Mm-hmm. Why were 5 school board members willing to say, we don't really care what the sentiment are of the people, we're going to vote for this plan? Why?
I cannot answer that question. I don't know why.
Were any of them made to explain themselves and give a reason or a rationale? I mean, you don't have to name names or anything, but what is the stated rationale, or do they really hide behind silence?
No, there is a belief that in order for some schools in the district to do better and to not be somehow as crowded, that they need to close these 3 schools. And it doesn't make logical sense to me, but that is what they stated in their, when they voted.
And so somehow those 5 board members, or 3 of the 5 board members, actually believe that.
I think they do believe it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 5.
Five of the 7.
Yes.
5 of the 7 board members actually believed that argument. And so you don't know. I mean, who knows?
But, and our previous guest, Al, said it, you know, a lot of them probably said that it was about money as well, that there was a fiscal angle, or at least underneath the surface that was the case.
Yes, there's a lot of talk about our capture rate. Stillwater does not capture 30% of our students. 30% of our students choose other schools. They choose Montemite, or they choose a charter school, or they choose a private school. I think we need to find out why are they choosing other schools. What are we doing wrong that makes them not want to choose our schools? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we should have started, not with the problem with closing the 3 schools that they're choosing to close. They are all traditional classrooms,
right? And very high performing too.
They're very high performing traditional, and a lot of the other schools that will be left are open classrooms, and those are great for certain kids. They can be great schools. I'm not saying those are not good schools.
Right.
But there are a certain amount of kids who do not do well in that openness.
Right.
And that is why a lot of those kids are at Marine, Withrow, Oak Park.
They're choosing that more traditional, self-contained
classroom.
So now to
close those schools, you are taking away that option for those kids who need that. And that is kind of what got me most involved, because I watched these parents at these learning sessions, listening sessions. Mm-hmm. They cry while they talk about how important these schools, how they've changed their kids' lives. And to take that away, it just seemed so punishing to take all of them away and force them into an educational environment that might not work for them.
Mm-hmm. That's a part of your argument I really, really like, is that ultimately, if you've got different types of schools, if you empower the parents to choose within a district or through other districts, that empowers the parent to get the best possible education for that child, which is ultimately what everybody wants and what the school district wants. But you're saying, hey, it's taking away, three very good options. There's still other options available, but we're taking away three very good ones in the same geographic location, constraining, and in some places, there's open enrollment isn't even open because they're at a certain percentage of enrollment. I mean, there's a lot of constraints.
Well, and against the will of the majority of people who live in this district. Well, that's the part that's really shocking.
And it will only increase the amount of competitors that will come into the area. It will only make more charters open. I think it will hurt the school district in the end, which really hurts me the most as a taxpayer. I believe in the public system, and I think to force more competition will not help them, and that is what really pains me right now is...
Mm-hmm. Jenna, unfortunately, we've only got 2 minutes left, and these interviews are never long enough. So I want to is there anything we didn't touch on? Anything in particular, any feeling you have about, going forward, where does this go? I mean, what are the options? What are the resources?
I know, instance...
If you've got a listener out there, and they want to hear what they can do, what could it be?
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say, I want to point out that there are actually 3 lawsuits against the Stillwater School District
pending
right now, and on a lot of different levels and a lot of different issues, and we're not going to go into that at all today, but I do think it's important for listeners to hear that there is a lot that's being investigated right now.
Still going
as
on.
As to why this happened, as to how it happened, just lots of different issues that are sort of underlying these 3 different lawsuits.
It's not a closed issue.
So, no, it's not. It is ongoing, and I really want to applaud Jenna and Elle for coming in today, because obviously it takes people like you standing up and having the courage to speak out to make change. And so on that note, is there do you have a website or anything that you would like to direct people to at all?
Not really. Thank you, but we appreciate the opportunity to be heard, and just we just hope we want what's best for the school system and all the kids here, and we'd like...
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. No, I mean, I can see, if listeners could watch and see the passion coming off of her face, that's what it's all about. And it is not, we talk a lot about local control here and and belief in empowering families and parents. Mm-hmm. That's what this looks like. School boards should be responsive to people. Mm-hmm. There are folks that are going to be up for election soon.
Yes.
Holding them accountable will be part of that. And that's not a partisan issue. That's grassroots. That's our republic. We are we the people.
Right.
People are held accountable. And that certainly will happen. If really the majority was against this, then some people might lose their job eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. It all comes part and parcel.
Well, Jenna, thank you very much for joining us today and for your activism. And
thank you.
And if folks are interested in this episode and others, they're always listed on the podcast at libertyclassicalacademy.org or here at KLBB.
Right.
You can listen to all the previous episodes, including this one. Rebecca, any closing thoughts?
My closing thought is that I agree with Jenna that this is a very important issue. The public schools have been the cornerstone of what has made this nation great. And we are running into issues all across the nation, and we want to see them be the best that they can be. And so I hope that Stillwater residents will get involved, that they'll start paying attention if they aren't already, and those that aren't, start paying attention. Those that are, get in the arena and really start helping battle this issue with all of these people who care so much.
Well said. Thank you, Rebecca. We will see everybody here again next Saturday, 10:30 a.m.